For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Two games in Boston and two games getting slapped around as Boston opens with a 2-0 lead. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a Sports Ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Bruschi, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. This is a special NBA Finals episode that we're mixing in here as we're in a full-on race to get the season review episodes done as we march toward the NBA draft and free agency. Before we get into Dallas getting slapped around and the nuts and bolts of this episode, we would like to ask you guys, if you're supporters, please subscribe to the show on your favorite platform. Hit those like buttons and any five-star comments or reviews, we love those. It all goes into the various algorithms that unfortunately create this Carnival Barker atmosphere where we got to tell you this stuff at the beginning of every episode. We're very much trying to reverse that here at Sports Ethos, but it is what it is. So do that. Drop us some feedback at Aaron Bruschi, AaronBruski, at Dr. A, DocKtora, at Ethos Fantasy NBA. Follow that feed and follow Ethos Fantasy NFL as well, especially those two right now. Well, actually, baseball as well. Ethos Fantasy BB for baseball. All three have fully functioning blurb feeds. So you're getting all the free intel that's coming across the wire. And then you're going to get all of our promo stuff that's coming out, really, I think, in this upcoming week. And lots of big stuff going on with the NFL Draft Guide and Premium in general here at the website. So without going into that any further, let me welcome in Steve, Dr. A. Alexander. I'm not sure I want to ask you a basketball question here. So I'm just going to ask you if you're recording for the beach and how that's going for you.
It's going well, except I have a sore throat.
Ouch.
And there's also a ton of shark attacks in this area lately. So I'm not hanging out in the water a whole lot.
Yeah, I used to live in Florida, and I remember they have like shark tournaments, like shark fishing tournaments. Like people would just get out in their boat and drop a bunch of chum in the water, and then they'd go fishing for sharks, and then they would catch these big, big hammerhead sharks and all sorts of different sharks, and then put them on cranes and kind of just display them in parks. That was my Florida experience.
Well, three people got bit here on the same day.
Oh yeah. Boy,
yeah.
And you're out in what area are you in right now? The Virginia or
Florabama?
Florabama, okay, good stuff.
Florida, well, that's and not good. Alabama.
Yeah, that's not good. The sharks are tearing things up. It sounds like, yeah, they're circling. The sharks are circling for the Dallas Mavericks broadcast. School paying off. They're circling, and that's what we're going to be talking here on today's show. But before we do that, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Get every stat matchup and even live odds while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on to our online casino, get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about the Miami Heat season in review, and Wednesday we'll be diving into the Philadelphia 76ers, so we got plenty of fantasy stuff on the way. But yeah, those Sharks, they're circling, and so both of us pretty big on Dallas, just getting a little slapped around ourselves with some of the prediction stuff here. I don't know that I'm surprised by any of the Boston being very good piece of this, but... I'm also, I guess I'm a little surprised that we're not getting better play out of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. I guess I want to start with Luka since we're pretty much a Luka show here. Where are you at with Luka's performance after two games, sir?
Doesn't he have two triple-doubles? And last night was 32, 11, and 11 in four steals.
There's another number in there. A big one. It was almost a quadruple-double.
There's eight turnovers, and there's four of eight free throws.
There's numbers from the game two, from game two that I think people are going to latch onto almost like as a Rorschach test or whatever that is. And thank you, enunciation Twitter. I need to hear from you on what Rorschach, what the pronunciation is. Or Andre, I'm sure you'll be in my ear with the answer here soon. Apologies to Dante Exum. Butchering more names over here. But there's the numbers that are going to be, you know, kind of all over the place in game two. You're pretty, how optimistic are you about Luka's play? I mean, you're mentioning the numbers. He's clearly, you know, the straw that stirs the drink for Dallas. He's doing plenty of good out there. But where are you at overall, I guess, with him?
I mean, Dallas just got beat. The first game, game one, Dallas couldn't make a shot. Boston couldn't miss. Game two, Jason Tatum played like crap. But yet Boston still held on and won. I tell you what, Jrue Holiday has been money for Boston in this series. I'm not mad at Luka. I mean, the missed free throws suck and the turnovers, you know, should be cut in half. But he hit 12 of 21 shots. There's not much more he could do. He needed Kyrie to be on fire, and Kyrie just wasn't on fire.
This is extraordinarily problematic, just the fact that Kyrie has not been good in this series. Maybe that gets a little bit to be too heavy-handed as the game went on. I would say in game two, there were moments where Kyrie started to show a little bit of his Kyrie-ness. And with Luka, I think he's just got an incredibly heavy lift with this. I mean, that defense for Boston is extraordinarily good. I mean, there's a lot going on there that most teams don't bounce back from. And, you know, so he's able to handle that. I think where my beef with Luka is on some of the kind of details games, some of the like stuff that's way beneath a player of his stature where, you know, there's like the series, it was in game one where he, you know, just like kind of lazily dribbling up the floor. Jaylen Brown picks him and goes for two the other way. You know, is Jaylen Brown an extraordinarily shifty defender and with long arms and can get in there and poke a ball? Sure, yeah. It's kind of the momentum that occurs when you have a play like that. Some of these turnovers have just been completely, you know, just brain farts. And so what I wonder in those situations is, can that be occurring with your best player when you're playing a team of that stature? So in terms of mental fortitude and, you know, mistake making and being locked in on that stuff, how problematic is it? Do you think that it's a big deal? Do you think that it's something that is going to define the rest of the series? Is it something that he gets turned around in game three? Where are you at with that stuff?
I mean, to me, it's not a big deal. He pretty much did everything he could do out there. Let's keep in mind that Boston is supposed to win both of those games. They're both at Boston. A playoff series doesn't start until a home team loses. So am I a little worried about the fact that Dallas, we've gotten two totally different games. And one, Dallas seemed to play pretty well. One, they didn't play well at all. They lost both of them. That is concerning to me. I'm not really worried about Luka's play. Four less turnovers and a few more made free throws, I'd be happy with. I'm not going to bag on a guy who had 32, 11, 11 with four steals and was the best player on the, you know, in my opinion, he was the best player on the floor again. I mean, compared to what Jason Tatum did, Luka was a hero, you know. And also the little uncalled foul pushed to the back on PJ Washington at the end of that game. If they call that a foul and he hits the two free throws, it's a 3-point game and anything happens. But they didn't make that call. Boston came back, hit a three, it was over.
Yeah, the refs like to iron things out when they make mistakes. And I don't know that it's like a conscious thing. And, you know, put the tinfoil hat on, and I'm sure people have other things to say about all that. But, like, so that has got to come back to Dallas in some way, shape, or form at some point. I even think the officiating. So I thought in game one they did a great job calling the game, you know, letting them play and not having too many egregious tackle fouls not called type of a deal. In game two, where I saw the same strategy being employed by the refs, they stopped that probably about halfway through. But in the first half, there were some pretty egregious non-calls. And I think that benefits Boston. Our athletes can really get up and get into Dallas and use that athleticism without any sort of penalty from the referees. In the second half, they started coming back with that stuff, meaning like the refs started calling fouls and kind of getting Boston to back off, perhaps sensing that if Boston's allowed to play that way, this is going to be a quick series. The last call, I think, was just sort of an extension of all of the other physical play that they had allowed, and they just didn't catch it, and it was absolutely a foul. And it definitely would have been interesting, because at no point in time in that game did Dallas feel like they were the better. Did it feel like Dallas was the better team, or that Boston had taken a punch on the chin at all? I didn't know. To this date, you know, through two games, Boston has not been challenged. They haven't been put on, you know, their back against the wall. So that's just really interesting. Because the score was really close, and theoretically Dallas could have stolen a game under those circumstances. So they haven't played very well overall, I don't think. With Kyrie, I don't know how you even do it if you're Jason Kidd, but it's like a decision he has to make to be more assertive, right? Like, what does Kyrie have to do to get a little bit of the pressure off of Luka? And I agree with you, and to close with the last point, I do agree with you that Luka has played extraordinarily well overall. Most of my commentary is in the context of that he has a heavy lift ahead of him and he's got to be just really, really good. But with Kyrie, how does he take pressure off of Luka?
So the problem with Dallas is they've got two guys. They've got Kyrie and they've got Luka. They've got three other guys that are like very important factors to what they do, but they're not offensive heroes. Boston has six guys that can score 20 points. And if Jason Tatum's not firing like he wasn't last night, 6 of 22, then Drew Holiday and Derek White are going to step up. They both did last night. And I think that Boston's just too deep for Dallas, at least, you know, intimidating them in front of that Boston crowd, which the crowd was awesome, amazing, I thought. But now we go back to Dallas, and there's going to be less distractions, and the crowd's going to be behind Dallas and going to mess with Boston a little bit. And Kyrie's not going to play like crap forever. I mean, unfortunately, I think Luka's carried his end of the deal so far. It's Kyrie that needs to step up, be more aggressive, make his open shots, and you know, help Luka. He's unfortunately the only other serious offensive weapon they have.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like he's just floating out there. 7 of 18 in this last game, 16.6 assists. These aren't terrible numbers, you know. 41 minutes. He was out there the entire night, but he's yet to really make an imprint upon the game and cause Boston to do anything differently than what they're currently doing. So on one hand, it's okay, cool. Yeah, Kyrie, you know, you got to play better. It's your fault, sort of a deal. you know, get with the program here, but you know Kyrie Irving is not going to play. Like, the odds he has four straight bad games are very low, you know, like 5%, 10% low. The odds he has three straight very bad games or quiet games or games where he doesn't impact the other team, those are really low as well. I mean, and who knows, maybe Boston's the team to expose those kinds of odds, but that bounce back is coming, and maybe it's the Dallas crowd. Maybe it's the sense that there's no time to wait. It feels like it's a decision that Kyrie has to make to intentionally go and try to get into the paint and try to expose certain matchups. And maybe even, I thought I saw some of this early in game two as well, is maybe even just between the two guys say, hey, Luka, we need to establish me. So let me go out there, do my thing. And then when I've established me, we're going to come back to you, and then you're going to run the show again. Something like that would be very wise for Dallas to tap into at some rate, because they need those two engines firing, because the rest of the group, absent PJ Washington, and I would say Daniel Gafford was pretty good. The rest of the group's really struggling. You know, Derek Jones had 11 points and kind of a very normal looking stat line, but he's being put into positions, and he's even putting himself into positions where he's taking high leverage shots. That hasn't been good. Down into the bench, you're just seeing a ton of bad. You know, Maxi Kleber, 0.04 from the field. Derek Lively, 2.7 boards. He's had some really bad plays, and at the same time, it's hard to take him off the floor because of all of the stuff that he does that doesn't get seen in the box score, where he just takes away angles and defensively is very, very good. On the glass, he's very, very good. How to keep him, and I don't think you could keep him off the floor. Dante Exum, 3 points. He was kind of the best of the bunch, you know, out of the bench unit. Josh Green, 1 of 4. The bench as a whole was 1 of 6 from three. And I believe that makes everybody 5 of 20 from the starting unit from three. So there's a lot of talk about Boston's 3-point shooting in this game, and everybody's sort of pointing toward, hey, they're not going to miss threes like that going forward. This is the game that Dallas needed to win, where Jason Tatum struggles. But not a lot of talk about that Dallas 3-point mark. I bring that up because I think this game might have been the highlight of where these two teams are at with their talent and their kind of how good they are. Is neither team can hit a three. You know, Dallas has a lot of turnovers, can't hit the foul shots. Boston hits their foul shots, and you get yourself a 98-105 finish, and that's probably where the talent level of these squads are. But, you know, going back to Dallas in game three, what are you expecting to see out of this team as a whole? Like, are they going to keep Dallas this? Are they going to keep doing what they've been doing and just hope for a home team bump, that these role players will start to play better because they're at home? Or do you think we're going to start seeing some of the final adjustments that they can make in a series as we get back to Dallas?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry. Only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands. All hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I don't see either team making any big adjustments because I'm not really sure what they can do differently. You know, game two, I thought was a hard fought game between both teams. Dallas made their threes early. Luka was on fire in the first quarter. They had a lead, and then Dallas went cold from downtown, and that lead went away, and Dallas took over. I mean, Boston took over, and Boston couldn't hit a three either, but they got so many easy layups that it really didn't matter. They could pretty much, they were either going to miss a three or get a wide open layup the entire second half, it seemed like. I don't think Kyrie Irving is going to have, well, I don't feel like he's going to continue to struggle as bad as he has. And also, Dallas is used to Kyrie getting hot, at least for like 5 minutes every game. So he might go on a 10-point run in the third quarter or a 5-point run in the fourth quarter or, you know, 7 or 8 here and there that all come like right away together where he sort of like gives Dallas a boost and a cushion and a lead. He's just not doing that. He has not played a Kyrie game yet out of the two. So, like I said earlier, I really think adjustments are not going to be made. Dallas is doing a great job of switching on defense. Dallas is doing what they can, but I think that the true defenders that Kyrie and Luka have historically been are really being taken advantage of by Dallas. I mean, by Boston. So I think the key is Dallas needs Kyrie to get hot.
It's, I mean, at least that is a credible thing that can happen, you know, and probably is probable to happen. So if you're a Dallas Mavericks backer, fan, prognosticator, you name it, you know, you've at least got that going for you. You mentioned, I was going to talk about Kristaps, but I'm going to punt that down the list here real quick. But like this defense by Dallas, there's a lot of clips floating around of Luka just getting toasted. Kyrie just not really present, I would say. But they're really going after Luka. And I think there's something interesting going on schematically that's maybe making Luka look a little bit worse. Is it appears as if he's not attempting to slide with those guys laterally, and that he's almost chasing them off the three-point line, like allowing them to get into the paint, basically like not overextending to try to defend these guys laterally when he knows he has no chance anyway, perhaps. So better to just keep his balance and stay tall, keep his hands up. And as they step around him, he's taking a chase position, and then they have to play the 4-on-3 or whatever, you know, configuration out there is occurring. And I don't know if I'm a fan of it because I think it's just leading to a lot of 3-point attempts for Boston. But do you think that that is intentional by Dallas? Do you think that it's a good thing that they keep doing that? Or, you know, where are you at with the Luka defense on that particular set?
Well, I mean, let's not forget the dude was questionable yesterday. Not probable. He was questionable with a bruised chest, and he's got a knee and an ankle as well. I mean, he's super banged up. And I don't think, I mean, the fact that he had that huge wrap on his chest as they were doing the national anthem, like it wasn't a joke or a smoke screen, like he's actually hurt. So the fact that he was out there at all is the only reason Dallas had a chance to begin with. And I think when it comes to having Jaylen Brown running downhill and coming at him full steam, is Luka going to turn around and get out of the way, like, to become the fodder for the internet, or is he going to stand in there, try to stop him and get hurt and take a charge? I mean, the guy was hurt, so I'm not going to nitpick. I mean, you watch Luka play and you watch Jaylen Brown play. Like, Luka should not be able to stop Jaylen Brown to begin with. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Brown's so much faster than him. So I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say Luka is not playing sort of crappy in areas, but I'm not expecting him to make incredible defensive plays against a steamrolling Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, no, I really think this is strategic to get them inside the 3-point line and make some of these guys, like, I don't want to say Tatum can't finish. He's not a good finisher, because he clearly is. But like, a lot of times when you see Jason Tatum go bad, like he did in this last game, it's a lot of shots that other finishers would have completed. So maybe they think if they can get, you know, those two guys driving in low advantage situations where it's not a complete breakdown of the defense, Luka's in trail position and he can just kind of keep his hands up, and then maybe they can get some turnovers on these plays and just disrupt the flow of their offense. I think maybe there might be something there, especially if he's hurt and he knows he can't bang with those guys. Maybe it's just a little game of, playing a little possum there. We'll see. I don't know. It could just be that these guys are stepping around him and then getting inside, and that would be that. If he can play it straight up a little bit and make them shoot over the top, I think that could be an answer. Defensively, they've got to do something to make things more difficult. A lot of times Boston's just looking like they've got every answer and they're just kind of toggling between which way they want to land a haymaker. One of those things that they've had in their back pocket is like the hammer of Thor, Kristaps Porzingis. I'm not 100% sure he's missed in this series. I have to look it up. Pretty sure it's happened. He has been pretty amazing on both offense and then even defensively. I think Dallas, you know, they probably have about 10 field goal attempts in two games where some of their bench guys have had some kind of a one-on-one, either with Porzingis mostly, but like some of the other Boston players where they're able to just, they're seeing like, okay, I have a shot. This is a shot I would maybe normally take in the regular season, and I'm going to go challenge that guy. And it's been bad every single time. And the kind of momentum backbreaker stuff where had the Josh Green or whoever pulled it out and run a set, and you can maybe get a point per possession out of it, you know, you'd have 5 more points or something if you were Dallas in those types of situations. But Porzingis in particular, he's catching the ball at the elbow a lot, and really just able to kind of get his balance and rise and fire over whoever. What do you do with that? Like, is there something that schematically you think that Dallas can do? Stop switching so much, keep the tall guys on him. Like, or is Kristaps just going to be free to roam, provided he's healthy, by the way? That's the other part of this question, is how do things change with this potential serious looking injury? I don't have an update here right now, but, it just didn't look great, right? Like, pretty important game. He's tapping out after limping up and down the floor. So what do you do with him if he's healthy? And do you think this has potential to be a series changer?
I mean, they didn't need him last night. He was 4 of 7, didn't hit a three, had 12 points and 4 boards. Then the momentum changers he had were those 2 blocks he had. I think one was on Derrick Jones Jr. I don't remember the other one, but I mean, they were both give me buckets for Dallas, and he blocked both of them. And that, in turn, gave Boston the ball back, and they either took the lead or extended the lead on the next plays. Those were huge plays for Boston. So I haven't read anything about him being hurt, but I mean, the scary thing is they didn't even need him last night. So,
yeah, I mean, it felt like they were protecting his minutes to be like, I mean, I don't know what his first half minute total was, but, you know, he's coming off the bench. kind of like 6-minute stints, you know, just really protective kind of stuff. In game one, he went absolutely berserk. Not quite as good in game two in terms of the shooting and all of that, but yeah, I don't know. I on one hand, I don't think they need him. On the other hand, he kind of makes them impossible if he's going to be hot. I'm looking at whether like Lively, for example, can stay with him. If they can make a commitment to keep somebody with length on him, even if it costs them elsewhere, I feel like he's the sort of like, I don't know, old schoolers might remember like Bald Bull from Mike Tyson's Punch Out. If he's going to just come charging down the lane and hit you with an uppercut, you know, you're out. And he's just been that guy for them this season. So if there's something going on with the calf and it's serious and he doesn't play, would it cause you, well, let's do this. Are there any other angles with this series that you'd like to consider before I take us out here? Cause I want to get a prediction from you and I kind of want to make it about Kristaps Porzingis one way or another, but are there any angles that you feel aren't being covered other than we just have to see what happens in game three?
Well, all we heard about after game one was Porzingis, how incredible he was, how he dominated the game, yada, yada. And then we didn't hear anything about him after game two. He's not hurt. They say he's good to go. They're not worried about him. He left with 4:40 left in the game and didn't come back in. And they were looking at his calf on the bench. But I think Boston just felt in control of the game and didn't want to risk Porzingis. I think Porzingis has had his moment in this finals. I think the way he played in game one was surprising, unexpected, and awesome. And I think that is going to be the highlight of the finals for him. And again, Boston did not need him last night. They were just fine with him not doing a whole lot. But his two blocks were huge. As long as Jrue Holiday and Derek White are going to play as well as they have so far, then Boston's in good shape. And Dallas is only going to win games if Luka and Kyrie both go off. And we have not seen them both go off at the same time in this series. So I'm thinking they get it together back at home and we come back to Boston tied 2-2.
Wow. Okay. There's the prediction right there. Boston 2-2. I need this, Doc. I'm a Dallas backer right now. You know, and I've been, you know, I've been having your voice pinging my head throughout the last couple of days here that you might come onto the show and say something like this. And it's been helpful, you know, because you're right about the fact that these two guys got to play good. And we haven't seen it out of Kyrie. So it's likely to come. Luka's probably foaming at the mouth to have one of those Luka games. Game three, Dallas -2, I believe, is the current line. And I'm glad you brought up Jrue Holiday because he just looks like he's in maybe the best shape that we've seen him over the last like 2-3 years. And if they're going to let him play physical, I'm sorry. Like that's just as scary as it gets. It's good to see him playing at the peak of his abilities right now after last season, whatever the heck was going on in Milwaukee. It just didn't look good. He maybe was banged up even because he just doesn't have the same pop. Like right now he looks like somebody like, we'll go with another video game reference, like Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl, you know, level speed and athleticism combo, and people are just bouncing off of him, and he's just kind of taking everybody out of the game whenever he wants. So good job, Jrue Holiday. I'm not comfortable predicting 2-2, but I guess it's possible. I'm feeling pretty good about game three. I don't think these guys are going to show up soft, and I think that matters in the case of Kyrie. Like Kyrie needs to be as effective as humanly possible, and who knows, maybe that music that's playing in the background, if he could get some of that in his head, you know, clear the mind and just get in there and get into game three and just really knock it out. I feel pretty good about that game. It's just, can they do it for two games? And they got to put some doubt into Boston. Like, and that's really the thing I'm looking for. I don't see it that it's very likely that Boston plays the entire series without getting the doubt put into them by Dallas? And what do they look like when that happens? Because that's really been the thing for them, is when that doubt comes in and they start pressing and the, you know, the basket shrinks on them, what then? And can Dallas create any momentum? You know, two wins in Dallas heading back to Boston, that I want to see. So I guess we'll see how it goes. I don't have a prediction. I think I'm just going to sit on this one and say that I like them in game three. Want to see game three before I predict game four. So that'll do it for us here today. One more time, I want to humbly ask you guys to like and subscribe to the show, as well as continue sending us feedback so we can keep on improving it. And then for people who want an edge in their fantasy football leagues, our NFL draft guide's coming out pretty much imminently. There's actually already content being dripped out right now, so keep an eye out for that. And keep an eye out for some crazy promos where you can get an all-sport fantasy pass, including all of the sports, at a rate that's essentially the cost of one of them. And we do this every once in a while, so if you can get that rate, you can keep it for life as long as you keep your membership active. So keep an eye out for that. Follow us at Aaron Bruski, AaronBruski, at Dr. A, DocTora, and at Ethos Fantasy NBA. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a sports ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.